to our Father's house. Amen. When Jason was praying over the offering, he mentioned something. He said, "We thank you, Lord, in these words, one way or another, that we are able to come into your house, and we have this privilege to come into your house." Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to share some things. I feel like the Lord has spoke to my heart. Amen. Somebody say, God is good. Oh, let's say that again. Somebody say, God is good. He's a good God, isn't he? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book, St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Wouldn't worship awesome this morning? Good. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Jacob, you can track with me there, as you always do. Such a fine job. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised," or it was reported, if you will, "that he was in the house." Amen. Hallelujah. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them." No, not so much as about the door. "And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately," everybody say immediately, "when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven, or to say, Arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." That right there should be enough to give God praise for. How many's glad he has power to forgive sins? How many will say this morning you'd be in trouble if he didn't have the power to forgive sins? Amen. I would venture to say we might as well close up the book and go out the door and lock the door and be done with it. If he didn't have the power, I'm telling you, he has the power to forgive sins. He's the only one that has the power to forgive sins. Hallelujah. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth." Everybody say on earth. "To forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy. Verse 11, "I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way unto your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm going to share with you this morning what's in the house. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. Come on, church. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. And we ask now for the anointing upon your word. We ask that you add your blessing to it. Let it speak to us today and let it change us and challenge us and increase our faith in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. What's in the house? How many recall the scripture where the prophet Elisha was in the widow woman's house? And he asked her the question, James, what's in the house? What do you have in the house? Amen. Now, I want to try to convey to you this morning, it's important. It's very important. And basically, what I like to look at is three aspects of the word here, or three different areas, if you will. It's important what this nation has in the house. Amen. It's important what you allow. I just got to preach the truth. Amen. It's important what you allow, what our nation allows to come into our house. Amen. It's important what we allow to come into this house. I'm very careful and very selective as to who I allow in this pulpit. Amen. I've had many that look at me and say, you know, I've ran into people oftentimes, Curtis, that, you know, when you introduce yourself to them and they find out who you are, and they'll say, I want to come and preach for you. Amen. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to protect the sheep. I'm not going to let a wolf come in and eat you. Amen. So I'm very selective as to who I let stand in this pulpit. Amen. So that's another aspect of it. The third aspect, and the one that's going to hit home more with us, no pun intended, is what do you allow in your house? Your home. Amen. How many will agree with your pastor that what we allow can make the difference as to whether or not we're walking in blessing or walking in a curse? What we allow come into our house can make a difference as to where our children are blessed or where they're not blessed. What we allow in our house can affect whether or not our finances are blessed. Oh, come on now. Are you with me? Look at the scripture again. And again into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now, can I tell you that when Jesus is in the house, it makes all the difference. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to take my time. When he shows up in the house, it changes everything. It was noised, it was reported that he was in the house. Amen. And then the word says, and straightway many were gathered so much that they were there was not enough room to receive them, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. What it's saying here is no one else could get into the place. Now, that should speak to you in different ways. When Jesus shows up in the house, I'm going to tell you right now, demonic spirits are not going to hang around where Jesus is. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all got to help me preach this morning. How many's ever went into homes and you just sense the presence of the Lord there? And you know that his presence is there. But on the other hand, how many's ever been in places before and there's just not a good feeling in that place? There's not a good spirit in that place. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's not about, it don't have anything to do with the sign on the door. It don't have anything to, thank God for our worship team. But it don't have anything to do with abilities or talents. It don't even have anything to do with musical styles or anything like that. What it all has to do with is when Jesus really shows up, and when Jesus shows up in the house, things start to happen. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see people saved and delivered and set free by the power of God. And it's going to change the whole culture of what's around us. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus in the house. I said, Jesus in the house. Jesus, we need Jesus from the White House to the townhouse. We need Jesus in our nation. Can I just preach you the truth? I know everybody's been watching the news this week. And the Lord has stirred this message in my spirit. I remember last week I preached on no compromise. And I don't know, it's just like, you know, and I know the Lord takes us through phases, but right now it's just like the Lord is giving me things, because Wanda, we got home last week, she said, I just had a thought, you know, the day before or something. It's been a while since you had really preached on sin. I guess she was kind of checking me, wasn't she? It's been a while. And she, when we got home Sunday, she said, I was just having that thought. But you know, it's like the Lord takes us through phases, and right now the phases, I believe the Lord is saying, let me tell you something, folks. God is doing things here at our Father's house. Amen. Hopefully I can get there in a minute, Jason. We're going to talk about some of the things that the Lord has shown me. But here's the deal: God is advancing. His kingdom is going to advance. Amen. But listen to me: the only way you're going to advance in the kingdom of God is to shake off the rudiments of the world. Amen. It's to get things out of your life and get focused on God and on His presence and going after. And getting in His Word. Will somebody help me preach this morning? And getting in prayer and seeking the face of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I said I was going to go slow, but I'm getting excited now. You got to see that the only way we're going to advance, you can't walk in the things of God when you are allowing the things of the world to dominate your life. I feel an anointing on this word. Everybody saw the news this week. What happened up in Boston? The Boston Marathon. Tragic events that unfolded. Three people, is that right? Three people lost their lives. One of whom was an 8-year-old boy. Precious little boy. Amen. Lost his life. Never should have happened. Amen. But listen to me. I'm just going to preach the truth. And I know this is being recorded, but I'm going to preach the truth anyway. You got to watch what you let in your house. Oh, hallelujah. I understand that this is the land of the free. And the home of the brave. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I also understand that the United States of America was founded and built upon the written word of the Most High God. The Lord God Jehovah. Amen. And I personally believe, I'm just going to preach what I believe. I personally believe that if you're going to gain entrance into our house, you better know that this is what we believe. Come on now. You better know that this is what we stand. Not the freedom of religion, but the written true word of the living Lord God Jehovah. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. To whom there's only one access to, and His name is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is in the house, things will change. Amen. When Jesus is seated at the conference table, there'll be peace. Oh, hallelujah. I said when Jesus is seated at the conference table, there'll be peace. Not, it's not a time, folks, to coexist and to say, oh, we love our Muslim brothers. Or we are supposed to love all men, and Jesus loves all men. But we are not supposed to condone or uphold what their beliefs are if they go against the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you let stuff in that goes against this Word, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Now I'm talking, this speaks from the top all the way to the bottom. We better watch who we let, you know, and Wanda will tell you. And you know, I get a little upset sometimes, and I get that little holy indignation that rises up in me. And when I saw that on the news, I said, when you let stuff like that in, that's what you get. That's their motive. Folks, you might as well go ahead and grasp it. They hate us. You know why they hate us? Because we stand for Jesus Christ. We stand for Him as not just a prophet that came and was, but oh no, 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 not just a prophet. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Son of the Most High God. We're talking about the one that came down here and defeated sin and defeated the devil on the cross of Calvary and ascended to the... It's all about what we believe. Satan, you know, Satan... Lucifer always rises up. Y'all gotta help me. I've left my notes all together. Lucifer always rises up in the spirit of religion. Listen, I know that there's sin down at the bar. I know that there's sin in the drugs, and there's sin in the alcohol, and there's sins. You know, people are caught up in idolatry and all those things. But I'm going to tell you something. Lucifer gets his foot in through religion. Jesus had to fight. Jesus didn't have no problems with demons. He said, come out, and they came out. He had authority over the demons. You know who he had to deal with? He had to deal with the spirit of religion. And there's people, there's churches now. I'm about to blow up, folks. There's churches that want to coexist with religion and say, oh, let's call it Chrislam. Have y'all heard that? Chrislam. No compromise. I'd love to see John the Baptist take on that. You know what? He might lose his, if he was here today, he'd probably lose his head in jail. What's different? Are you with me? He'd say, repent, you generation of vipers. The kingdom of God is at hand. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Amen? But you know, it's like, and I'm still on my topic here. What do we let in the house? And I'll tell you something. The enemy has no problem. It's a spirit of religion that's trying to rule the church. And it comes in different forms. But listen, the enemy don't care if you have a church. What gets him stirred up is when you start naming the name of Jesus. When Jesus is in the house. I'll just go ahead and say it. There's people that's meeting all over this nation this morning in all different forms of religion. Anything you can name. There's so many. You know, Scientology, Islam, amen, all these false religions, all these idols. But the thing is, if the word is plain, if they do not see Christ and confess Christ as the Son of God, it's a false religion. It's against the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let me go on. Are y'all with me? We don't need that in our house. What's in the house? Okay, let's look at our own house. What's in your house? You know, and obviously, I think we're all in agreement. It's easy for us to get excited about, you know, yeah, there's some things in this nation that does not need to be allowed here. And I think we're in total agreement with that. But let me ask you the question, what's in your house? Amen. What do you allow in your house? And I think we need to do inventory. Was, you know, I'll just say this, oftentimes the struggles that people have, the continual struggles that people have, are oftentimes because of things that they're entertaining in their houses and in their lives. Amen. Be careful. Be careful, because there's spirits attached to certain things. There's spirits attached to certain music. There's spirits attached to certain television shows. Satan is using, he's using that television as his pulpit to preach the anointing from the pits of hell into our homes. And all kinds of, you know, it comes out. I talked Wednesday night on the King of Sodom. You know, we've been talking about the priestly order of Melchizedek. We talked about the king of Sodom and how that anything went in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you guys know what happened there, how God destroyed that. So he came down and said, I'll check it out myself. But it's like anything goes. And if we're not careful, I told him Wednesday night, I know that at times, you know, there's been people that's went overboard in one direction. You know, years ago, you couldn't do anything, James. You know, if you got saved, I heard one guy got up one night. It's a young guy. He got up and apologized to the church because he went out and shot some basketball. Now, we know that's legalism. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about what you wear, how you wear your hair, or anything like that. I'm talking about spirits that are connected to things that will destroy your life, that set out. The enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. He has one mode. You can't coexist with him. You can't reason with him. Amen. You can't try to discuss things with him. He is out to destroy you. He is out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to take everything you have because he knows he's doomed and he can't get anything because he was cast out and he has no blessing. He has no future. So he wants to take yours. So be careful what spirits you entertain. Amen. That message is being preached on our televisions. And I told him Wednesday night, you can't sit down and watch even a wholesome program at times because of the commercials. Is it not the truth? Amen. You know what? Listen to me. There are spirits on the people that what do you call those people that put those commercials together? You know, the advertisers, or I think they have a title, a job they do or something. You know, they come and say, here's what we're going to do for the company, you know. But anyway, there's spirits on those people. Amen. Folks, this is not a game we're playing here. We're not playing Bob Jacks. Amen. It's the enemy, the enemy fighting against the church to tear down. And you want to know why the enemy wants to tear down the picture of the family? Because Christ and the church is husband and wife. Anything to destroy that union, you know, he wants to destroy the family unit. He's against that. Amen. So what I'm saying is, your pastor is, be careful what you let into your house. What's in the house? Amen. You better have Jesus in the house. I said, you better have Jesus in the house. You better get your Bible out I'm telling you, it's war. It's on. What's the young people say? It's time to start throwing down. Amen. It's time to start throwing down. It's on. And you're not going to advance in the kingdom. You're not going to win this battle unless you get in this book. Get the Bible out and clean the dust off of it. Is that all right? I'm just going to preach you the truth. You're not going to get the answers out of the People magazine. You're not going to get out of the newspaper. You're not, and I'll just go ahead and say, I'm too far in now. Some of our newspapers are so liberal. They won't report the truth. They won't tell you what the truth is about these things. And it causes people to start to say, if you're not careful, the enemy will start causing you to say, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. Amen. You better have Jesus in the house. Look what it says. Daniel, get ready to come help me, buddy. Give me a few more minutes. I got to finish this up. When they were gathering so much, there was not so room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Remember, I say the word. Look what it says. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they couldn't get in. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Oh, I'm going to give you a word now. I understand, and I believe. How many believes the Bible has, oftentimes in the Word, the Bible has a literal meaning to us? But then also, there's a spiritual significance. Christ is all through the Old Testament. Oh, hallelujah. He was David's stone. Amen. He was Aaron's rod. He was Judah's scepter. He was the fourth man in the fire with the three Hebrew children. Oh, hallelujah. He's all through it. Now, it says here that they couldn't get this man down, so I believe it was literal that they had to break up the roof to drop him down through the roof. But now listen to me. The scripture tells us that Satan is the prince and power of the air. So oftentimes, we are allowing these spirits that we've entertained and brought, they come in. Folks, be careful. How many's ever heard somebody say, you got to be careful if you buy something at the flea market or the yard sale, or if you go to the grocery store and get a sack of potatoes, you got to be careful because if you're not careful, you'll bring in roaches. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Sometimes they get in through ways that you didn't expect they got there. Amen. We don't have roaches. Thank God. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. I'd have to do something. Burn the house or I couldn't handle that. But sometimes things get in ways you don't. I'm trying to preach you the truth. Amen. And we need to break up the roof. We need to cast out these spirits and take authority over these spirits so we can get those that are sick into the house of God so that we can get them into that place. Because I promise you, if Jesus is in the house and we get them in the house, something's going to happen in their life. There's going to be a change in their life. Come on, can you give him praise? I said, if we can get them to Jesus, there'll be a change in their life. Woo, hallelujah. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven. And there was certain of the scribes. Here comes that spirit of religion. And it's in many forms today. There were certain of the scribes reasoning their friend, saying, why does this man speak blasphemies? He was only a prophet. He wasn't the Son of God. Are you with me? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves. They were thinking these things in their hearts. He knows your thoughts, folks. He knew what these people were thinking. Amen. He says, what's easier to say? To the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven, or say, rise up and take your bed and walk. In other words, I can do either one. You know, it doesn't matter which one I say first. I'm going to take care of both of them. I can take care of all of it. You know, listen, folks, Jesus can take care of all of it. He can take care of sickness. He can take care of our sins. He can take care of depression. He can take care of fear. He can take care of drug addiction. He can take care of alcoholism. He can take care of prostitution. Amen. All right, let me bring this to a close. It's important. I don't want you to miss this, and I'll close. I promise. What's in the house? Now, it's important. You got to see the parallel here. It's important for what comes into your house. Now, say this house. Now, we've talked about basically the White House. We've talked about this house, our Father's house. Everybody, you understand that. We've talked about our homes. Now, in closing, this house, this temple. Amen. What comes into this house? Jesus so often referred to himself as the temple. It's important. Oh, I hope I can get this out to you. I feel like the Lord really spoke something to me, and it was confirmed. It was confirmed this morning, and I want you to get it, and I'll close. I promise. I want you to go to John 14. I can't finish this, I know, but I want you just to give you this thought. What it says, I'm probably going to throw some of you a curve this morning. You got it, Jacob? John 14. Thank you, son. I love my boy. He's a good boy. We're blessed. Both our boys are good boys. We're blessed. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Keep going. In my Father's house. Everybody say, my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Everybody say, a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive into myself that where I am. Everybody say, where I am. There you may be also. Y'all with me? Now, many commentators think that Jesus was speaking about his Father's house in heaven. Now, and it's a real popular message that we use at funerals. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm going to come again and receive you. Where I am, there you may be also. I want to suggest something to you. I don't want you to throw that theory out the door. You don't have to throw that out the door, but I want to give you some food for thought. Heaven is never mentioned in this chapter. Some food for thought. Heaven is never mentioned in chapter 14. He actually said the going away was only going to be for a little while. To which I believe he was referring to his resurrection. The day that they would be united with him and not his second coming. Third, John 14, 4 and 6 indicate that Jesus was talking about believers coming to the Father through him. The only way. Access. He said, I am the way. Everybody say the way. The truth and the life. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we have both access by one Spirit and the Father. Look at verse 3. He says, look at verse 3. I want you to see this real quickly. I'm going to bring this to a close. I'm not going to leave you confused this morning. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am. Everybody say, where I am. Where I am. Not where I will be. Where was the Lord then and there? Jesus repeatedly indicated that he was in the Father. And he prayed in John 17, Lord, Father, let them be one in us, the way you and I are one. And the disciples would also be with him in the Father. And we know that Jesus indicated he was going to go back to the Father, and that ascent was going to take him to heaven, and we know that he's going to come back and he's going to take us back to heaven. But can I suggest to you that we can live in the house with him now? Amen. We are not waiting. Oh, y'all, I don't know if y'all getting this or not. We are not sitting around, as Elmer Fudd would say. Twiddling our thumbs, waiting for him to come and get us. I'm trying to quit here. But we can live in the house with him now. He said, you know what I think that house he was talking about? Back just a few chapters back, he said, if you tear down this temple, this house, in 3 days, I'm going to build it again. So he says, oh yeah, here's going to be the kicker. And I pray the Lord, if you don't get it today, you're going to go home and sit, and the Lord's going to give you a revelation of what I'm speaking to you right now. He is the house, and in his Father's house are many mansions, are many abodes. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he's got a room. He's got room for everybody. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're going. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to give him praise this morning. He has many abodes. I said, he has many abodes. He has hope for the hopeless. He has healing for the sick. He has peace for those that are in despair. And can I suggest to you, the goal of Jesus' mission was to bring people to the Father. Not to take people to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. I'll just leave it at this. You got to see this. The goal is not a place. The goal is a person. Oftentimes, we miss it because we think the goal is a place or a thing. But the goal is a person. And if you'll find the person and you'll be in his house, see if this helps you with it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So if you're in his house, you all are in the same house together and you're connected to the Father. That's why when Philip looked at him, folks, and I don't have time to go into all this. Go home and read the entire chapter and let the Lord speak to you. When Philip looked at him and says, we don't know the way. He said, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know? He said, if you've seen me, see here, he wasn't talking about heaven. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was talking about being connected with the Father through the house. Christ. Are you with me? We need to be in his house. And he and ours, we're connected to the Father's house. Don't take this name of this church lightly. You know, when the Lord spoke that to me, and oftentimes, and I'm closing, I promise, but oftentimes, you know, me and Pastor Gully, we text each other, you know. I sent him a text this morning. I sent that text to him, and I said, you know, Jesus is the house. And he, you know, the destination is a person, not a place. And he replied back to me and said, bullseye, bro. You know, we get so caught up in things and, you know, and I'm going to make it to heaven someday. Listen, Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. Did he not? He came to bring heaven to us. And the reason a lot of us, and just closing and finishing up, the reason a lot of us are living in hell because we don't have Jesus in the house. And we're not in his house. That's not our abode. He said, if you keep my commandments, we'll come and make our abode with you. We'll hang out with you. You know, I like to think we drive down the car. He's sitting there in the vehicle. Sometimes I talk to him just sitting there. I'm not talking about praying those King James prayers. You know, oh, blessed thereunto, O most heaven. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm glad you're here, man. I'm just glad you're hanging out with me today. What's in the house?